This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. Oh! They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
Hello and welcome to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Jonathan Kidd, who you can hear there, Dan Silver and Clayton Bierman from the Chelsea Fan Show. A wonderful result last night.
Well, pretty expected, really. So,
but 5-0, it's not bad, Jonathan.
Yeah, but, you know, come on, they should be winning like that every time, shouldn't they?
Every time, against anyone.
Against anyone, yeah.
Especially Man City.
Yeah, especially Man City. Yeah, that would be 11 goals we'd have to score against them, wouldn't we, really? I'm getting all crackly. What's happening?
Yeah, I'm crackly as well.
We're all falling apart. Help!
Yeah, we've got the odd crackle in our headphones, but I think we're sounding okay.
So we'll
plough on nonetheless.
Like wading through a bowl of Rice Krispies.
A bowl of Snap, Crackle and Pop.
Other cereals are available, obviously.
Other cereals are available. All of them, you know. Have you?
Or Pop, I played.
Pop.
Checkers.
Well, there were
Checkers goes
pop. Plays pop.
Well, there were crackles aplenty for Chelsea last night, and one person who was particularly incendiary was Olivier Giroud. A very impressive hat-trick. I know he's not been the most popular figure for Chelsea fans because of a lack of goals, but what was the perception of his performance?
I felt the pass that he provided for Hudson-Odoi was completely immaculate. Yeah. I don't know what the rest of you think, but I thought that was just phenomenal. As well as his, I mean, it was terrible marking. I think they were, how can I put it, dispirited. Dispirited pup side. Because, pupped
it. I think we scored after 4 minutes.
Yeah.
That completely killed that any hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That was it.
But I think, to be fair to them, I think we destroyed their confidence by playing so well against them in the first leg, which we did do. But, you know, it worries me that the standard is so poor. I'm happy that we're playing Sparta Prague, actually, because I don't think they're
talk about them later, because I actually watched some of the
against Seville,
the extra time, because it was, you know, having sort of seen off the end of the Arsenal game and the wife still being out, I just obviously more football, so I watched that. They had a big crowd. That was their big thing, wasn't it? They were in a big stadium. Was it 65,000 plus stadium? And they thought, hostile atmosphere, we'll show them. And they went 1-0 down, and then they knew that the game was over because there was no way they were going to score five. And I thought we played all right. I know that you can own, they were really poor. I mean,
were they as poor as Bartey, or were they as poor as
Powell? Well, I don't know, but I was saying this to Dan before the game, that, you know, the one thing I will say about last night is that we played, I can't remember, the Greek side and then Bartey, and they were all just as awful.
Yeah,
but we didn't actually put them away. And Vidi I mean, Vidi tried harder, didn't they? And that's the only game we've drawn. That's the only game we drew.
Giroud.
Yeah, Giroud. Yeah. So I think we played really well last night.
Yeah.
It's all got to be put in context.
Put in perspective, absolutely, yeah. Because what'll happen tomorrow?
I don't know, because we're not playing till Sunday.
Sorry,
I'm here all week.
I'm such a traditionalist. Yeah. I keep thinking it's going to somehow be Saturday at 3:00. What a fool. I have my rattle with me and a little bobble hat. Come and play our blues.
Bit of Bovril to go with it.
Yeah, bit of Bovril, that would do the trick. You could have that with your Rice Krispies.
Yeah, of course, other hot meat drinks are available, but I don't know what they are.
Are there any, actually?
I suppose if you put a spoon of Marmite...
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
No, it's far too salty.
Is it?
I suppose beef stock would be, or lamb stock or something would be the next line.
Tottenham laughing stock.
Very good. I can hear the phone ringing already.
We'd like it to ring.
We would like it to ring.
0208 70 20 558.
Is the number. If you're a Tottenham fan and you're outraged, get in touch. If you're a Chelsea fan, you're delighted.
Can I just say, if you're a Tottenham fan and you're listening to this on a Friday night...
Go out and have a Bovril Don't bottle going out. In terms of last night's performance, no bottling whatsoever from Chelsea. I was impressed once again by Hudson-Odoi. I know
second
that
half.
Jonathan,
what about the assist for the third goal?
It was good.
He did that in the first half.
He's a good player. He's not the greatest player we've ever had.
You're quite right not to go over the top, but you're also not right in dampening, like our manager, who basically said exactly that. Yeah, he was all right in the second half, but he needs to keep his feet on the ground. No, you need to big him up.
Well,
he's a great talent.
You need to do both, don't you? You need to big him up and give him confidence while keeping him grounded.
But he needs to say that to him.
Perhaps he knows that he's off. Perhaps he's spoken to him and said, I'm not staying around here. I'd like the 2 million that Bayern Munich are going to offer me.
Jordan Sanchez having his lung and getting tickled by his tummy every week he plays. We should do the same. Both come out the same under-18s World Cup.
So your suggestion is that we should... just be praising everything Hudson-Odoi does.
No, when he deserves praise, and last night he deserved praise. I don't think there was anything he did last night that was visible, damnable. There wasn't anything that...
He lost the ball. I saw him lose the ball once.
Oh, well, that's it. So you should have taken him off afterwards. Whipped him off. I was slightly frustrated by that. He frustrates me just... looking at him, but
they're saying that Hazard is just he's as good as Hazard. Yeah, that's not
no,
true.
That's rubbish.
But it's a question of potential, isn't it? I mean, when Hazard first broke through at Lille as a teenager, he wasn't as good as Hazard is now because nobody is when they're 18, 19. If you look
Alan
at Hudson-Odoi,
was.
Okay, but if we look at Hudson-Odoi, he's still this raw talent. Mm. Okay, it was Dinamo.
It's interesting, he's called Hudson, isn't he? Hudson-Odoi, and it's Alan Hudson, isn't it?
Alan Hudson-Odoi.
Alan Hudson-Odoi. There is a certain ring to it.
Certain ring, yeah.
Should he be featuring more in the Premier League? I know that this was Europa League. I know that the pressure was perhaps off. But actually, at the moment, every chance that Hudson-Odoi gets, he does seem to take.
Yeah, but who do you play him instead of? Where do you, you know, if you've got Higuain there, and you've got Willian there, and you've got Pedro there, and he only doesn't play Willian, he plays Pedro, because Pedro is on the form of his life, apparently.
Yeah, and can I just ask you a question?
Yes, ask me.
So... Dan can chip in as well.
Yeah, because Dan's not saying much. Chip in, Dan.
I'm waiting for him.
Waiting for me to shut up.
William and Pedro.
Yes.
Are.
Yeah.
Just so annoyingly inconsistent.
I agree.
Okay.
William was wonderful last night.
Let me finish. I've gone full Brexit here. Let me finish.
Okay. Second opinion.
Both Pedro and both William over the recent months have started to play very well. Gosh, I wonder why that is. Because there's somebody who's actually pushing them for their place.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, Willian will be good one day, bad the next. You know, he could be this in a game. I mean, he actually beat them first man from a corner on last night. Really surprised. Yeah,
that is something absolutely bizarre. But also, why can't any of them do it? Hazard hits the first man.
You know, it's not just us.
And everybody.
You watch the Premier League.
That's true.
Match of the day or any live game. Nobody beats him.
That's why William puts one finger in the air when he takes a corner. Because he's
just to let everyone know it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. He's testing the wind.
No, say he won't beat the first man. Yeah. So, I think if we get to a point where we're not going to get top four and we're going to put all eggs in the Europa League basket, then he's got to have game time, because there's no better time, there's no pressure on in the Premier League to give him game time. Because, you know, Ruben could have had a lot more game time in the last, you know, 3-4 years, loans aside, but he wasn't given any time.
Is there not an argument to play Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Hudson-Odoi, whatever happens? Which, I know I'm saying this not as a Chelsea fan, and I'm getting looks of incredulity from Jonathan Kidd.
He's not happy with his defensive qualities. He keeps saying this every time.
He was very good defensively last night.
It's a pub team.
But they don't elaborate on defensive qualities. What does he need to do? If you've got, you know...
Well, I suppose if you've got Hazard in the team as well, who isn't one of the great defenders, and yet Pedro is playing out of his skin defending, perhaps he just thinks it's imbalancing the side.
But how do you improve your defensive qualities? Real-time matches.
Well, the whole thing about how does he improve, how does he become the player that we all want him to become, is by playing him.
Well, as Johnny Hollins said, play him 4 games in a row.
Yeah.
Well, if he does, he does. But I'm just saying he's not unlikely to do it, because Pedro is his favourite, and he brings Willian on, because Willian won't start. He'll bring Willian on later on. That's what he does, because he's got Higuain and Hazard and one other.
Yeah.
So where's the... Who starts?
It's a nice problem to have, isn't it?
Well, not really, if you want Hudson-Odoi to start.
Well, listen, based on Thursday, he's going to be on the bench at best on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he played the full 90 minutes.
I keep wanting to say Saturday. I'm such a traditionalist. Yeah.
Well, there's lots more to touch on, and coming up, we'll be getting a second opinion from none other than Liam Twomey, Chelsea correspondent.
No, God, don't say that. It's Toomey.
Liam
Toomey.
Goodness, I do apologise.
Johnny.
Chelsea correspondent.
Johnny, stand in the corner.
For ESPN.
This is Love Sport. Love Sport.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Jonathan Kidd, Dan Silva, and Clayton Bierman from the Chelsea Fancast. And I'm delighted to say that we're joined on the line by Liam Twomey, who is the Chelsea correspondent for ESPN. Good evening, Liam. Thanks ever so much for joining us. What was your take on the performance last night?
It was pretty easy, wasn't it? Chelsea got the early goal. They didn't get Stamford Bridge against Kiev, and Kiev are a really, really young team. I looked up before the first leg, and they had 6 players aged 23 or under, and they just wilted as soon as Giroud scored early. They knew the tie. I mean, the tie was pretty much over anyway, but they knew it was completely over, and things just escalated from there. And Chelsea had a very easy evening. I think it was all positives, including some of the academy boys getting some minutes and doing very well.
Hi Liam, it's Clayton. Hope you're well.
Hi, Clayton.
Having my normal argument with Jonathan. basically, I was a little bit peeved that post-game on the telly, anyway, our manager was asked about Hudson-Odoi, and he improved in the second half, and he did well, but he has to keep his feet on the ground. And I just thought that's another inspirational speech from the manager. Did he say anything in the presser afterwards? Presumably he was asked about him.
I think he didn't really say anything more than that, I don't think. He's been striking a very consistent tone with Hudson-Odoi, which is very much expectation management. But I think I've always got the sense from Sarri. I mean, I've been the one to ask him about Callum a couple of times in recent weeks, and I think he steadily got more frustrated with being asked questions about him.
With you, specifically?
not specifically, although people... It does happen, JK, I find.
Are so pertinent, that's why, Liam.
Yeah, you get straight in there, that's why, and they can't cope.
Well, Sarri seems to have interpreted the questioning about Hudson-Odoi as media putting pressure on Hudson-Odoi to play and play well, whereas really the pressure is on Sarri to play him, and he's not really doing that as often as he probably should be, as often as the situation demands. Now, I'm not going to deny that the situation is not of Sarri's making, really, and in terms of Hudson-Odoi wanting to leave and not refusing to sign a new contract, and it's certainly, you know, not something that's entirely his fault. He's got to... Sarri's priority has to be to finish in the top four, but the situation as it is that Hudson-Odoi has no intention of signing a new contract, and Bayern Munich will be back for him in the summer. So it's an unusual, unprecedented even, situation for for a top English club to find itself in. And Sarri can moan all he likes about people putting too much pressure on Hudson-Odoi and saying that he has to be patient, but the reality is he only has to be as patient as his options, and he's got some very good options at the moment.
Liam, Hudson-Odoi isn't the only exceptional young British talent who Sarri has at his disposal. Ethan Ampadu is obviously another, and he didn't even feature in the squad last night. Lots of people, not least Owen Hargreaves, have subsequently called for the manager to perhaps put a bit more faith in the Welshman. Do you think that he missed an opportunity to give another talented youngster some much-needed minutes?
Yeah, I think he did. I think Sarri can be a little bit too risk-averse for his own good at times. I mean, he's got the reputation of being a really attack-minded manager, but I think he is quite conventionally Italian in some aspects. And
he loves the Bolognese.
His caution with regards to youth, I think, is certainly part of that. And it wouldn't have cost much to put Ampadu on the bench. You know, you can question the decision to start a guy like David Zappacosta in the first place, because I don't think Zappacosta has
much of a future.
Significant future at Chelsea. Yeah exactly, JK. Yeah. And, you know, as it turns out, Zappacosta gets injured during the game. You have to bring on Azpilicueta, who I'm sure Sarri would much rather have just left on the bench for 90 minutes with Everton coming up on Sunday. So I don't think it would have been much of a risk at all. Sarri had already seen from the first leg that Kiev weren't up to much, and certainly once they got the away goal, I don't think there was ever really huge risk of Chelsea losing that tie.
It makes you worry whether he was scared of the team imploding, actually.
Maybe he has more distrust of his own players. Yeah, maybe that's a good point. But I think there's also a big aspect to this, which is that Sarri doesn't have a position for Ampadu. At the moment, he's trying to figure out where he fits in this system, and I think it's something Conte played with last year as well. Ampadu played in midfield, in defence. He's not the tallest. Neither was John Terry, of course. So that wouldn't necessarily stop him being a good centre back. But he's played at right back. He's done well at holding midfield, or even as one of the more box to box midfielders. Now Sarri doesn't see him as equipped to play at the base of midfield and to play those passes. He gave him about 50 minutes in a cup game about a month ago, and then gave up on that idea and hasn't gone back to it. And I don't think he knows where to fit him in at the moment, is quite frankly.
Do you think he's just so rigid on his thoughts about players? I mean, the thing that frustrates me about him, this is the manager, not Ampadu, is the fact that when he was asked at the beginning of the season about transfers, he says, "I'm not interested in transfers. I like to work with what I've got." Now, for me, his attitude to Ampadu is a complete contradiction, because he's not working with him. Because, if you know, every time we see Ampadu play, he looks wonderful. He's so far ahead of his years in terms of maturity.
He's got a steel bite about him as well.
On the pitch. I keep going back to Danny Drinkwater, because nobody else does. But, you know, the fact is, the guy's a coach, and he says, well, he can't play in my system. Well, coach him to play in your system. This is the thing that really frustrates me with the manager.
Perhaps there's something deeper going on there, though, about Drinkwater. He's just opened a restaurant in Manchester.
Yeah, well, maybe he was doing too much cooking at Cobham.
Yeah, exactly.
In all seriousness, you know, and sort of just abandoning Cahill.
Yeah. With Drinkwater, it's Winston Bogard mad, isn't it?
Well, it's... Yeah, no, I mean...
Look, he's on 100,000 a week, and Bohada, whatever his name was on 40,000 a week. So this is even.
I just find it astonishing that you can just bin a player who, you know, three years ago, was winning the league.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, and playing with a player who is in your side.
I have heard this about Sarri, that he becomes sort of fixated on the players that he relies upon. He did the same thing at Napoli, and it can make the ones on the outside feel as though they are completely on the outside and completely out of his plans. And I think he's slowly made maybe a little bit more progress on that front at Chelsea, just because they've had so many games this year. He's already had to use a lot more players than he did at Napoli, where he really just had a core of 12 or 13. But I think you still see in the Premier League, he makes as few changes as possible. And he also says, you know, at the start of the season that he'd spoken to Guardiola, and Guardiola had actually told him, in your first season in England, don't try to work with more than 13, 14 players because you just won't have the time. So I think he's taken that advice to heart. And
so
he
that's why we lost
13,
at City.
14.
Yeah, but I think he's taken it too literally, hasn't he?
It might be true. I mean, Sarri's response, I think, would be that Chelsea have had so many games and so little training time since the season started that even if he is working with players, and I do think he is working with Ampadu, I'm not sure if he's necessarily paying much attention to Drinkwater or Cahill at this stage, but I do think he's still trying to coach Ampadu, but he just doesn't get a lot of coaching time with any of these guys during the season because it's basically all match prep and recovery in between games.
Liam, Chelsea have been given quite a favourable draw in the Europa League in the form of Slavia Prague, arguably, I think, quite comfortably the weakest team left in contention. With that in mind, would Chelsea fans be wrong to see those fixtures as another opportunity to play the likes of Ampadu, to play the likes of Hudson-Odoi, and maybe even Danny Drinkwater?
I don't think there'll be a massive lobby on Chelsea Twitter for Danny Drinkwater. I don't anticipate that, but... yeah, I mean, I'm sure there will be that pressure again. But I think, you know, Sarri's response, I can pretty much guess it now, would be, well, this is the Slavia Prague team that knocked Sevilla out in the last round, so they're clearly not to be taken too lightly. I'm sure they'll probably be better than anything Chelsea has faced in the competition so far, purely because they haven't really faced anyone. It is the best draw they could have got. That much is certain. The fact that both games are either side of the Premier League game against Liverpool is not particularly ideal, and that the away leg is first, I think that could condition Sarri's approach.
But Liam, isn't that all the more reason to give youth a chance, in the sense that in doing so you're also resting key men who you would want to be fitter for Liverpool?
Yeah, absolutely. That's certainly the logic.
And the advantage is he could then rescue it, couldn't it? If they had a negative result away, you'd hope he could then rescue it at home by playing more of the first team.
We've got 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sarri would prefer to do what he did against Kiev and play a strong team in the first leg, try to win the tie by half-time, and then play his second string in the second leg. But the fact that it's away home rather than home away maybe complicates things slightly.
Liam, before any of that, there is the small matter of Everton at the weekend on Sunday. I'm sorry, Jonathan, on Sunday.
I'd like it to be Saturday, please. 3 o'clock. I'll bring me rattle.
Liam, how do you see that game going? Are Chelsea going to have a chance? What kind of system should he play? And what will the result be?
Well, it's an interesting game because I think you look back on the Everton game at Stamford Bridge where Marco Silva was the first coach to man-mark Jorginho with Richarlison, and that really signalled and got away with a 0-0 draw, and that really signalled a change in the trajectory of Chelsea's season and of the kind of Sarri story. Chelsea have kind of recovered and Everton has since descended into a bit of a mess, but Chelsea very rarely get easy games at Goodison Park. There's always been a kind of unique, slightly strange animosity in these games. Everton really don't like Chelsea and they usually relish giving them a tough game, particularly on their home pitch. So I'm not expecting an easy one. Chelsea got the ideal prep in terms of being able to rest players, but they still had to go 3,000 miles on a plane to Kiev and back, which is certainly not what Sarri would have wanted ahead of this game. It all depends on which Chelsea turn up, really. If the Chelsea of recent weeks, of the last few weeks, particularly in their bigger games, shows up, then I fancy them to win, particularly with the way Everton are playing. But if they're anything less than their best, I think there's a real opportunity for more missed points and ground given up to rivals in the top four race.
Liam, if I had to press you for a score prediction, which I know is a cruel trick to play, but what would you go
really
for?
Horrid, Johnny.
Well, I'm an eternal optimist, so I'll probably go a hard-fought 2-1 Chelsea win.
2-1 Chelsea win. You heard it there first. Thank you ever so much, Liam. Liam Toomey there.
Cheers,
Chelsea
Liam.
Correspondent for ESPN.
Thanks,
coming up, even more on Dynamo Kiev, and we might even cast an eye back to Wolves.
Come for the sport, stay for the chat. Love Sport Radio. This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Jonathan Kidd, Dan Silver, and Clayton Bierman from the Chelsea Fancast. And there is the small matter of a quiz, gentlemen, for us to get our teeth into.
Indeed. As sure as Friday's Friday, I like to name all the players that played for Chelsea and Everton. Mr. Bierman is currently counting as we're speaking. This is live radio, and it's
22.
One of whom is Pat Nevin. I know that one because I hated him going.
So did I.
It was so upset me. Yeah.
And if nobody gets the player who played in 1921, I'm going to be gutted.
Then you're plastic Chelsea.
Yeah, you are plastic.
You're not proper Chelsea.
Yeah. If you'd like to ring in with your answers, you can do so 0208 70 20 558.
Double barreled, as
he was
we
posh.
Seem to be. Or you can tweet to at Chelsea Fancast or at Love Sport Radio.
Looking back even further than Dynamo Kiev, gents, there was Wolves at the weekend, and the first 20 minutes seemed to be going Chelsea's way. You had the ball, you were dictating play, but of course that also fell into Nuno Espirito Santo's plan because they like to soak up the pressure, catch you on the break. It looked like it would be 1-0 Raul Jimenez, but that man, Eden Hazard, managed to save the day again.
I thought they were very well set up, Wolves. I mean, you know, they came with a game plan, they let us have the ball, kind of round the centre half, and we couldn't make any breakthrough. You know, a bit of a dodgy goal because it is like, you know, deflection in the back of the net, but that's what they came up for. They're a really good side. They've got some excellent players, well set up, three big lads across the back, and we didn't have an answer.
Hadn't times changed when West Ham did that and we drew 0-0 with Mourinho, and it was all West Ham's fault for making football
Sam.
So dreadful.
Sam is the enemy.
Victorian. He called it Victorian from the Victorian age.
That's what he said. Yeah.
I think it was Sam Allardyce.
I mean, I just think
he did Wolves, it. Right,
the Wolves have got some great results this season. You know, they're backed by a very wealthy family, and they bought some super, Jean Martinez is a great player, Neves is a great player, Jimenez, they've got a great goalkeeper.
However, my thing, which I think we disagreed about on Twitter, is that I felt
you said I look forward to discussing it with
indeed
you on
I
Friday
did.
Night
I and did here and, here are, and here
true.
I am
and,
and I'm
word.
About to discuss
discussing
it now
it, yes.
discussing it, you know, we're not going oi you he's not like that
we'll give
gonna,
it a, give it a
I'm going to block you kid
yeah, yeah.
you will do
I've
in a
blocked
minute.
A couple of
yeah.
people actually because I can't stand some of their views, but obviously not present company, of course. I felt that one of the things that the team is very good at that doesn't get mentioned ever, because we're all, it's accused of, I actually posted, I thought we were, you know, attacking football with 90%, and I was put down by somebody saying, nah, it's possession football, which is completely different to attacking. I think, well, the reality is we can't shoot. I keep saying this is, you know, Kovacic, despite his excellent defensive qualities and passing qualities, cannot shoot, cannot hit anything, and it's constant air shots it is absolutely bizarre. But the one thing they're very good at, the one aspect of Sarismo that they seem to fulfill really well, is the pressing aspect. They get the ball back really quickly, and I didn't think that Wolves in the first half were actually attempting to defend. I didn't think they were set up and soaking up pressure. I thought they couldn't get the ball ever.
They had the blocks across the
midfield. Yeah, but that because they were forced into that position, because all we kept doing was pushing and pushing and pushing. Now, what should happen when you've got 90% of the ball is you should score. And we could not score. And Higuain, who I was the great champion of, I admit, is looking more and more like a slightly overweight bloke who's not fit enough be playing.
He's a fat Morata.
Yeah, there's I watched. Did you watch Morata during the week?
Did you not see the spat he had with you?
Oh,
did you not see that?
I'm Chiellini.
Yes, you are.
500 games.
Of course, he did his mouthy bit, Morata, and he missed the only chance they had to head. But otherwise, he wasn't involved in it at all, Morata.
I mean, your point is, you know, we had all that possession and we could not break through them. You know, they sat off us. They gave us all the ball. Nobody's running past until Loftus-Cheek came on. Nobody's running past
the
striker.
They actually, in the first half, didn't get into our penalty area.
They didn't need to.
No, but I reckon that part of it was that because they kept trying to. They kept trying to do the break away, which they did in the first half, and failed miserably with it. So as that, as a way of playing, all it does is just soak it up. But we kept, with that aspect of Cerismo, of getting the ball back, we kept getting the ball back, which is fantastic. However, it the ball needs to be hit much, much, much more quickly. If you watch all the other teams during the week in the Champions League, they're all passing the ball at a much better tempo than we pass it.
Jorginho was forever looking up, and he was looking. And there was he always has like a second on the ball to make space, but nobody was running. There was no passes. He had to go square. He had to go back because nobody was making runs into space.
Talking of Jorginho, one solution, one route to goal against Fulham was a strike from the edge of the area, just outside the box. Well, wouldn't that be one solution? And I know it's Fulham, so can't
just
do it.
Statistically, this season, we have had loads of shots, but the other statistic, which hides it all, is the amount of shots that we take which are blocked, which basically means that we're working the ball too slowly.
Yeah.
That's
something we all agree on. I agree with completely. So it is too slow.
And this is why.
Absolutely.
This is why there's such a backlash about what we're doing, because it's dull, because there's no goal attempts, there's no action in the area. So that is I mean the thing is that every season top clubs will come up against a side which is brilliantly drilled and really difficult to break down, and they'll draw. The frustration came through over the weekend was that is that's more dropped points against another side. Now there's the whole sort of we're bigger than Wolves, so we shouldn't be dropping points at home to Wolves. There's all that elevator claptrap. But I think it just goes back to the fact that we've dropped points where we should have won games because
we've been in control of the situation.
But we haven't
tactically done it. Well,
we're
part of it is
toothless.
There seems to be some bizarre one bizarre thing of I don't know whether you get that thing ever. You're watching the game and you're wherever you are, you suddenly see the moment for the trigger to be pulled. You see it a number of times. You think, the goalkeeper's running across, he's on the edge of the area, the shot, there it is. And Higuain keeps doing it. I'm considering he's supposed to be the infernal goal machine.
Keeps failing to pull the trigger.
But he stops it and passes it square.
Against Fulham. The goal that he scored,
fantastic.
The goal where the keeper made a brilliant save.
Yeah.
And the one where he skied it.
Yeah.
All first time.
But that's what he needs to do. He needs to do more of that. But he's not. Somehow they're all somehow in a mental state of this has to go wider, this has to go, or something.
The biggest picture of this is you've had Sarri now for, 8 months?
Yeah.
Really seen any improvement in the football?
The only thing I would say is that some of our passing is ridiculously good.
Yes. Now,
Last night, there was stuff. Yes. It doesn't matter if you're playing against dustbins.
Absolutely.
That Alonso passed for Giroud.
There was a little interchange between Willian and Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Brilliant.
Breaking out from our right, which was just stunning. And I don't care who you're playing against. That was great. So there is something that's happened.
Now, that's my contention is always that there's something possibly happening, and if he can get it to work, it's great. But to want to sack him and he's a fag-eating tramp and he's dreadful and he's a fraudster is just completely beyond me. I don't know what that's all about.
But he's a tramp.
Well, he's not, as far as we know.
No, but of course he's not. I'm just saying that. They're all the things he's been called. He's been called a fraud. That keeps coming up all the time on Twitter. Personal abuse is the worst manager I've ever seen. Jorginho, unfortunately, by being involved with him.
Osmosis.
He's the worst player I've ever seen at Chelsea. Yeah. And, you know, even people around me watching are standing up and going, you know, as if they're in the Colosseum, putting thumbs down and saying, like, oh, trouble, get him out, get out, get out. And you think, no, come on. It's not Benitez. It's not, come on.
Well, the Lions aren't quite out yet, but the question will be whether the passing is to an end, and we'll be getting into that in just a moment.
This is Love Sport.
Just a moment ago, we were discussing Chelsea's struggles in front of goal against Wolverhampton Wanderers. Not a problem they had last night against Dynamo Kiev, it has to be said. And one man partly responsible for that, was a certain Mr. Kovacic. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, no, I thought he was outstanding last night. And again, he wasn't under that much pressure because they weren't that good. But the way he controlled midfield was great, and it led me to think that every time he's had a really good game, it's when Jorginho's not on the pitch. And I think it's worth analysing that perhaps when we play those two together,
We don't need to, because they basically duplicate each other. They've got no attacking prowess at all. I mean, God bless him. He's scored one goal in about 200 games now, Kovacic.
And scored for 70
But I just thought he looked quality last night. I mean, he is a quality player, and everybody says, well, what does he add? Well, he doesn't add very much because he hasn't had an assist and he hasn't scored a goal.
Which is the same for Jorginho until he scored against Fulham.
Correct. So if you've got both of those players in the midfield, it's never we're never going to go anywhere. And I think that's part of the frustration.
Is that particular statistic, Clayton, perhaps quite a damning indictment of Sarri ball? In that we were saying, with reference to the Wolves game, that the passing sometimes looks gorgeous, perhaps isn't quick enough. But actually, if the people who the system is built around are neither scoring nor assisting, surely you can do all of that pretty passing, all of the running the game that a Jorginho or a Kovacic does, and also still get involved when it comes to the final ball or indeed the finish.
Yeah, I mean, you want to say something?
I was going to say, if you look at our midfield, essentially you've got three defensive midfielders, albeit Kante's playing slightly further up, he's still, in essence, a defensive midfielder. So you've got three defensive midfielders with not even 10 goals between them. There's nobody breaking the lines behind the strikers. So, you know, your midfield needs to be getting you 15, 20 goals a season if you're going to challenge.
Well, I think he thought that Barkley might be able to provide that, but he seems to be very rigidly stuck and he's doing his head in.
Barkley had a bit of a renaissance, didn't he, sort of over the autumn?
Yeah, but
and then he's dropped back again.
Yeah, but he has, that's right.
But do you not think... I'm not one of these Napoli disciples who watched them every week, you know, last year when they were pulling up trees. Does Sarri ball have two defensive midfield players in it?
It's not really about being defensive or attacking. That's the thing about it. It's about keeping it. Like you were saying on Twitter, this argument you had, Jonathan, it's not about attacking midfielders. It's not about defensive midfielders. It's about having midfielders who move the ball, keep the ball. But the point you were making is the salient one, Clayton, which is it's about moving the ball faster, which then means when you have your Mertens equivalent, there's more space.
With less touches. Transitions, which in fact was what Conte used to do, actually. Yeah. He was keen to have two touches and get rid of the ball. And it's the same thing. I despair slightly when you think, every time somebody actually takes four or five touches, he makes a note of it. He's seeing the players not doing what he wants, so he has to refer to it.
Because I mean, the Huddersfield game, albeit they were an abysmal side, you saw it work. They make space.
The first 20 minutes, they played exactly the way that he wanted, and it was actually quite fantastic.
And there's a bit of like a triangular passing between Kante, Jorginho, found the space, beautiful ball out wide, and I think we scored.
So there are aspects of it that when you see it working, is what you were saying. That some of the passing is some of the best I've seen.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
I mean,
but they can't maintain it. Some of them can't do it. You also need fullbacks who can centre the bloody
fullbacks,
thing.
Our fullbacks are.
You know, Emerson seems to go in spurts and then has a kind of gets the willies and just passes the ball back
all
the time.
Alonso's cross yesterday was brilliant. What a cross!
Brilliant. But
what
you wonder why can he not do that in a Premier League game? Is that because they've been closed down much more?
Dynamo Kiev not a very well organised.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if Dynamo Kiev played like a mid-table Premiership side, what the score would be? Because these sides have got some very good coaches, very well set up. So it's very hard. The money. You know, we're not going to now pick off certain players because they don't need to sell these players now. So we're very well set up teams.
Well, other than I hope that we don't do this thing of presuming that every single youth player who's playing in the Championship is a star of the future, because it's slightly doing my head.
This whole youth debate. I mean,
I know, but that's what that's what everybody's talking about. Get him in, Tammy Abraham. Get him in. I watched Villa the other day. He just stands
Tammy
in the penalty
Abraham
area and falls over.
No, well, to give him his credit, he was the first one over who wanted to punch somebody when Quinn Greenwich was being attacked.
That's true. He was
The youth
are a very nice kind of dream, but how many of these, five youth cups in the last 6 years, 7 years?
No,
let me finish. How many of these players are now playing anywhere in the Premiership or anywhere really at top level football? Then step up, I'll keep saying, step up from under 18s to the Premiership level is huge. Patrick Bamford, everyone was championing a bit about him at MK Dons.
He was Championship Player of the Year.
That's his level.
Absolutely, that's always the point.
He went to Palace and Norwich, both teams struggling for goals.
Didn't get played.
He's a very good Championship player, that's his level.
He's playing very well for Leeds at the moment.
Yeah, that's his level.
There's a great class about him. I was watching him the other day.
I'm
interested because...
He plays the cello.
And he...
Listen, I love
he reads the Telegraph.
I'm not so much
he's a
about,
Tory.
Listen, I'm not talking about character. You look at Tammy Abraham. Tammy could be, you know, he went to Swansea and
He doesn't play the cello.
No,
by
no,
the way.
Harmonica apparently.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But Swansea was struggling. They had change of manager. And
which one plays the didgeridoo? Do we know?
Tim Cahill.
Yeah, that would be right.
Yeah. He struggled at Swansea because they were struggling. You know, Mason Mount's having a decent season for Derby.
Yeah.
Olerena. The guy at Fiorentina. Reece James, who's outstanding by all accounts. And the guy at Fiorentina, the fullback.
He's gone. He's not.
Olerena, yeah.
Yeah, they've sold him for $8 million.
Well, they haven't sold him but they're going to exercise the option.
I mean, Ollie Glanville, who's a friend of ours, he's championed that Reece James has been outstanding at Wigan. I mean, truly outstanding.
But the important two words in that sentence are the final two, aren't they? Which are at Wigan.
Yeah.
But he has been called into the England under 20 squad.
But England under 20, I mean, the ones traditionally that are relevant are the 21s and the 19s. 20s, it's a sort of funny hinterland. I quickly want to come back to Maurizio Sarri with the point you made, Jonathan, about every time someone takes more than 2-3 touches, that scribble. Do you think that long term, this kind of extreme attention to detail will lead to the perfect footballing system, or is it over prescriptive? Because the Pep Guardiola model is you plan everything out until the final third and then you go and be creative, go and do what you want. If Sarri were to let Chelsea players off the lead just a little bit more and maybe tell them to do a bit more shooting, would you see better results?
Well, I think he's let them off the lead when it's come to defensively, because I think they're all it's in their DNA to defend and then break.
But that's where I want them on the lead, surely.
Spurs was an example of how Chelsea should be playing. It's a bit of the old fashioned, you know, proper old Chelsea with a bit of nice Sarri thrown in. It was a really sort of dichotomy of a performance.
Do you remember at the beginning of the season?
No.
This whole thing with Hazard. He was basically, I've been released. Conte had restrained me. I've been released. I've been reborn. Yeah. You know, Sarri has released me. I am now blah, blah, blah. It was a free spirit. And yet a couple of weeks ago, Sarri was saying, oh, he's not playing like he should be. He's not playing in the system.
He's not playing well enough.
And it's just like, oh, for God's sake.
So whether it's kind of like, broken, lost in translation English, he's not quite saying the right words, like trying to motivate the players. Maybe he meant coaching as opposed to motivating.
Yeah.
Because it could be a huge loss in translation for it. So you don't really know. I mean,
I do fear for when he has a go at speaking, actually.
I mean, Blue Screwer was talking about the he's not particularly well liked, and he'll like a cigarette in the changing rooms.
But that's okay. I don't think you want your manager to be well liked. You want your manager to command respect and get results.
I get the impression that he's very actually. No,
respect,
and I think he does. I think he does. I get the impression that he's very good at dealing with individuals because they seem to respond when he says, I had a chat to each of them individually and we came up with something. I don't think he's dismissive. I think he treats them as if he's, if he was a bank manager or if he was a school teacher.
Somewhere where he's got a bit of experience. He'll have to manage them collectively, of course, in the next round of the Europa League, where they take on Slavia Prague. Is it a great draw, not just because of the club, but because of the city?
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and it was a good result in the Europa League into the next round, and it's Slavia Prague, not just perhaps a generous draw in terms of the footballing side of things, but also quite a nice prospect of an away day for Chelsea fans.
Yeah, very nice.
Very nice indeed. I doubt whether I'll be able to get there, but I hear good things about Prague. Yeah, no, I think it's a great draw. I was wittering on before about the fact that I watched the extra time of the Prague-Sevilla game last night, and it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, it was two knackered teams going at each other. There were two great goals and one sort of school playground type goal at the end, which was an amazing finish.
It's a very good route as well, isn't it, through to the final. We avoid Arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Without being presumptuous, yeah.
Napoli will beat them.
I mean, I didn't see anything in what I was watching that scared me if we get either of these two sides, but they were playing extra time and they may well have been tired. I think Prague, I mean, it's a very winnable game. I do think at the end it was like they'd won their cup final. And I think beating Sevilla was a huge thing.
But it'll be like that again, won't it? I mean, it'll be a second cup final, perhaps an even bigger cup final to be taken on Chelsea.
Yeah, possibly, but I just think sometimes to get somewhere where you didn't really think you were going to get, and then you're there and you think, great, we've done it, rather than actually think, right, then we'll go on.
I take your point, absolutely, yeah. But then there are examples like the Leicester Cities of this world where actually they do keep pushing on. So important to not look entirely beyond Slavia Prague, although if Chelsea were to get beyond them, I actually think that Eintracht Frankfurt, arguably even more than Benfica, who scored some wonderful goals last night, both of those teams are actually probably as scary as Arsenal. Less of a known quantity, perhaps, but actually...
But I would much rather avoid Arsenal at all costs, because I just think London derbies, you can't call them, and they go against form. And they have had the hoodoo over us for quite a few years now, haven't
certainly
they?
Cup competitions, they beat us in the League Cup, didn't they?
Yeah, so, last year.
Yeah.
So I'd rather avoid them.
I think if they get past Napoli, that Arsenal got a good chance of getting to the final,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, Arsenal would be looking at Villarreal and Valencia and going,
it could be a Chelsea-Arsenal final without any shadow.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah.
I think they get past Napoli, because Napoli are a good side.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I think it's
still a good side.
They play very well against Rennes.
Yeah.
Play well.
Well, in the second leg. Yeah, I mean, the thing about Arsenal is that at their best, they're glorious, but you never quite know which Arsenal
I was very impressed, actually, by the way they just stepped up
But two of their goals were offside, Jonathan.
And I didn't notice that. I must have been asleep. I did fall asleep.
Did you?
Yeah, I remember now.
The first goal, Aubameyang was offside when he was slightly offside.
I thought it was
No.
Lacazette was offside.
Yeah, no, he was, but also Aubameyang was slightly offside.
It was his leg or his metatarsal.
And Aubameyang was offside for the third
goal. Aubameyang has an extraordinary knack of being offside for goals and
good
having
mask,
them given.
Though.
Well, let's touch on the mask, okay? So Twitter were outraged about this mask. For anyone who didn't see it, Aubameyang.
I'm just showing everybody what.
Yes.
I'm holding it up to the microphone. There you go. There's a picture.
So what happened was Aubameyang got his second goal of the night, Arsenal's third. And Aubameyang was a man known during his time at Dortmund for celebrating with a Spider-Man mask. He would pull one out of his shirt or his shorts or wherever it was hiding, put it over his head and celebrate that way. Well, he's moved with the times, he's moved with the Marvel Universe, and when the second goal went in yesterday, he pulled a Black Panther mask on and made a Wakanda Forever.
Hidden behind the hoarding.
He'd hidden it behind the hoarding.
Which he couldn't find, and he got booked for time wasting.
Yes.
Worth it for the mask.
I think the steward had put it there for him, but he put it in the wrong place.
Talking of masks, quick snap question. Who's the last Premier League player who used to wear a mask after scoring a goal? If you get this one, I'll be very impressed.
Petacek.
No, striker. He used to pull out a mask.
He was a Newcastle player, wasn't he?
Samuel Eto'o.
No,
he wasn't a Newcastle
club.
Player.
We've had Harry Kane from the producer's box, because obviously when he broke his cheek.
No, like it pulls out of his...
Yeah. Who is it?
Facundo Silva. He used to play for Fulham.
That's a name.
Yeah,
He
used to have like a Zorro mask.
Sounds like a vegetable soup. Yeah.
But in terms of
the
Aubameyang...
Did he have a sword as well? with a piece of chalk on the end.
It's watershed.
He used to put a Z. Same for Zorro. Zorro, of course, is Spanish for fox. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I thought you'd like to know.
Anyway,
in terms of the actual Aubameyang mask, were you outraged because Twitter exploded with people going, how arrogant, Arsenal's defence is terrible, this is rubbish. Why shouldn't he be able to celebrate a goal how he likes?
I'm more outraged by anybody who gets booked for celebrating.
So you think you should be able to take your shirt off, jump into the crowd?
Jump into the crowd. I always despair of some do-gooder steward who tries to prevent the players from celebrating. I really think that is absolutely poor.
To be fair on the stewards, I think they probably have to do that as part of the job description.
Well, no, I think it's to do with supporters. I think the players should be able to go up to the fans as much as they like. They shouldn't have some rather unattractive large man in a big
high-vis jacket
preventing them from celebrating.
What I'm saying is, from the stewards' point of view, I think that is an overall league regulation rather than stewards taking it into their own hands.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Because it always seems to be one particular bloke, does it, who wants to be in the shop.
With a clipboard as well.
The only person who should get booked, the only goal celebration that should be booked, is if you incite the imposing fans.
Yes, I was going to say that Adebayor did it.
Yeah.
Running the length of the pitch.
Yeah.
Did you see in that instance, Arsenal fans were throwing all kinds of empty plastic bottles. One bloke threw a plastic stool. You think, firstly, why did you have that?
Yeah.
Secondly, what are you doing? And thirdly, I'm oddly impressed.
Yeah. No, I think it's taking the fun out of football.
Yeah, I mean, you should be able to wear a mask. You should be able to take your shirt off. You should be able to dive headlong into the fans.
I fear, though, the worry is if you put the mask on, it'll be product placement after a bit.
Yeah, you would get fined for that. That happened to Nicholas Bentner. Or, indeed, your eyesight might be obstructed. You dive into the wrong fans, and it ends very, very badly. It's 7:57.
Line Love Sport.
Coming up in the next hour of the Chelsea Fan Show, our attention turns solely to Everton. It was a 0-0 draw at Stamford Bridge. Will the Blues be easier to break down at Goodison? The question always with these Marco Silva sides, particularly Everton this year, is inconsistency. There's quality there. Sigurdsson can tear any side apart on his day. Richarlison has goals in those twinkle-toed Brazilian boots, but they don't always turn up. Also, there's the small matter of a quiz. We want you to get in touch. Which players played for both Everton and Chelsea? There are quite a few to be working through. If you'd like to get in touch with your answers or just want to chat, that number is 0208 70 20 558 or at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. Oh! They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour, and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
Hello and welcome back to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow. And it's a delight to be joined in the studio by Jonathan Kidd, Dan Silva and Clayton Bierman from the Chelsea Fancast.
Clayton Bierman.
And we're looking forward, gentlemen, in Jamaican accents apparently, to Everton at the weekend. Yeah. What are your chances?
I mean, Everton are kind of like Chelsea were sort of 20 years ago, like in and out. You know, they've started spending some serious money, got some good players, but completely inconsistent. It must be so frustrating being an Everton fan because they put in a great performance one week and then go and throw away a lead at Newcastle. So I think this will be a tough game. very, very tough game.
Kurt Zouma doesn't play against us.
Yeah.
What's been the theory about Kurt Zouma here? Because we've all gone very quiet about him
he's
coming.
He's just been called up to the French squad.
Yeah.
Has he?
Yeah. I think it's taken a while to get fixed after his injury. I don't think he's really had
That's right. But has he been playing well for them?
By all accounts, yes. I've got a friend who's ever tasted. He's really good. He says he's one of those, he's got a really infectious personality as well. He's kind of like, you know, everyone likes him because he's just a real kind of like leader.
Would he fit with Cerismo? This is the question.
I don't know. His pass is a bit
yeah, that's the problem,
rubbish,
isn't it? Was the same with Conte, didn't trust him. That's why he got rid of him, because he felt that he was too... he wasn't good enough on the ball for what was required.
I mean, because you've got Luiz and Christensen.
Yeah.
I mean, did he come back and become like a third choice centre half?
Yeah. Perhaps he won't want
to. Luiz is apparently signing a new contract, by all accounts.
Can we touch?
Is it a year long? Sorry to go off the Everton thing. But
No.
I was interested by the Zouma. You're going to say?
I was going to go on a completely different line, which is the name Christensen came up. He's not featured all that much under Sarri. He was, of course, very highly rated.
Yeah.
The club almost got into a bit of trouble as part of bringing him in. Is there a future for him at Stamford Bridge?
I hope so. I think he's a good player. I think he had a really good spell under Conte, then the Barcelona match at Stamford Bridge, he had a bit of a mare, and I think his confidence got absolutely shot to pieces.
Well, he had two or three games in a row. One of them was, I think, as you correctly say, Barcelona. Then there was a Man City game, he made a mistake, and then there was another game. And he got really bad concussion, didn't he, in one game? And so he didn't play towards the end of last season. Sarri doesn't fancy him, but every time he's played...
He's been faultless.
Well, he's played a couple of league games recently.
He's
but interesting,
really
people
good.
Always say, it's a way, interesting how fans dismiss players, but he's been dismissed with... Always a mistake. He's always got a major mistake, whether he has or not, because of his reputation before.
But he seems to be paired with Rudiger, doesn't he?
Which I think is I personally think I like that partnership, because Rudiger's got the aggression, the pace, where Christensen's a bit better with the ball.
The trouble is Luiz can play these unbelievable, raking 50-yard passes, and if Luiz seems to play very well on the big occasions.
Big game player.
Absolutely big game player. Changing the subject very quickly, I have to talk about this here, which is the Football Blogging Awards, because nomination, which of course Chelsea Fancast is up for, but the nomination voting finishes on the 24th of March 2019, 7 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. So you've got to get your votes in. You vote Chelsea Fancast for best podcast, and we won it in 2012 and 2015. Finalists 2012 to 2017. Here's how to vote. I mean, you obviously have to like the Fancast in the first place, but I think you wouldn't be listening to us if you didn't like it. So please vote. You vote on Twitter by tweeting, "I am voting for." You don't have to do it in a strange Swedish accent, having said that. I am voting for Chelsea Fan. I am voting for at Chelsea Fancast in at the FBAs. That's as you'd expect, THEFBAS for. Hashtag best podcast. Or you can vote on Instagram. Go to the Football Blogging Awards Instagram page, click on the best podcast image, and tag at Chelsea Fancast in the comments. Or vote through ChelseaFancast.com. Click on the button on the homepage or the blog in latest news. Or vote. There's an abundance of ways to vote.
Sounds like it's quite hard not to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. Get in there. Vote on all of them. Vote on the FBA's website, which is www.footballbloggingawards.co.uk. Your vote in.
If you go to the Chelsea Fancast Twitter account, that tweet is pinned, so you can do it online as well.
Well done.
And
I'm just
under instructions. I'm just tweeting it at goalie59. I've just tweeted the instructions.
I tweeted,
and the link.
Yeah, well
and
done.
Dan Still 73 is doing the same.
Yeah, okay.
I'll do mine again if you like. I did it earlier, but I'll do it again.
Almost impossible to avoid it.
Oh, well, it goes through very quickly, so we all ought to do it a lot. Let's do it several times by the end of
hello.
The program.
I've just seen something.
Oh, what's happened? Somebody being rude.
Right. So, no, we've had a couple
picture?
Of answers.
Oh.
A tweet account, I want my Chelsea back. Duncan McKenzie.
Yes.
Correct.
Well done.
Pat Nevin.
Yeah,
yes.
I mentioned that one earlier. Ooh, I hated him.
Bobby Stewart.
Yes, indeed. Good
Gary Stanley.
Graham. Yes, he did as
Romelu
well.
Romelu Lukaku.
Yes.
Michael Thomas.
Yes,
get
Mickey.
Well soon, Mickey.
Yeah,
get well soon,
great
mate.
Player he was. My goodness me.
Eddie McCready, 1977, who's always a big contributor to this. He's said put a punt on Alec Chamberlain.
Oh, good old Alec, was that 1919?
No, this is...
Oh, the other Alex.
The ex-Whopper goalkeeper.
Yes, no, not the ex-Prime Minister.
I'm afraid, unfortunately...
No, that's not correct. OK, keep them coming, please. Keep them coming. That's
I can give you a
good
clue.
Start. Yeah, go.
It rhymes with sock. And he played in 1923, 1925. And it's your appendage.
I hasten to add quickly that Alec Chamberlain arguably is correct. He never featured in the league for Chelsea, but he did spend one season on loan at Stamford Bridge in 1992 from Luton Town. That's in addition to spending the 1987-88 season at Everton. Never played for either club in the league, but was on both of their books at one time.
I think he qualifies. Absolutely.
We've had a ding.
Yeah,
we've
had a ding. A correct ding.
That was a really
good ding.
Very weird sensation.
It was very good. Particularly since it was slightly abbreviated. Yes, it didn't finish. It didn't get to its climax. It went ding. We need another one, really.
Should we get a couple closer than the players, do you think?
Yeah, we should.
Well,
we should.
There's one who's in our current first team squad who nobody's mentioned.
Yeah, there's one that also played for QPR and Glasgow Rangers.
And there's one who played for Wimbledon.
And Manchester City.
Yes.
There's one who played for Barcelona.
There's one who played for Nottingham Forest.
Barcelona, Bayern Munich.
And Leeds.
One that nearly took two Premiership sides down the same season.
One who played for Notts County.
Yeah.
There's one who played for Southampton.
There's one who's also could have been Doctor Who, almost.
And there's one, actually, one of my favourite players is one of the guys who played there. One of my favourite ever players for Chelsea.
There's a player that...
Goals.
Was this particular person, was he the one that they recently buried in Brompton? They put a headstone for him in Brompton Cemetery?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
The other player is a player, it's a religion, and when you sneeze, you'd also be responded with that same word.
I know who you mean, and that's a bizarrely good and bizarrely weird clue. Keep your guesses coming in, either to at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, at Chelsea Fancast, or 0208 7020 558. More, let's look at where it's going wrong for Marco Silva.
This is Love Sport. Love Sport.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Last time out in the Premier League was quite a disappointing result. A 1-1 draw with Wolves. A poor result which was compounded, of course, by Arsenal getting 3 points crucially against Manchester United. With that in mind, this weekend's game against Everton, is that suddenly a must-win fixture?
They're all must-win fixtures.
Yeah. Every single one.
Every single one of them. Yeah. Yeah, because they may... You don't know what's going to happen at all. It just seems to be a very unclear, the lack of consistency. People, the teams are having one week they play against somebody they should be beating, and then they don't come up to scratch, do they? I think particularly with Chelsea, we don't know which team's going to turn up at the moment. So
it's quite interesting. I took a few moments out this afternoon to watch Everton fan TV.
Is it as bad as Arsenal fan TV?
No, it's great, actually. There were two guys sitting on sofas who were just basically talking like proper fans rather than just being, you know, just trying to sort of bring some sort of reaction. It was literally like two guys in a pub having a chat, proper chat about football, and the frustration coming through from these guys was just immense.
Palpable.
I was going to use that word, say that.
Yeah.
And it was just, they're just incredulous. They're basically March and they've only got 37 points. They haven't won a home game for months and they're just saying we should be doing much better than this without any sense of entitlement, and there was just a real frustration, and it was quite funny because it was like listening to us saying that we should be doing better than this and what have you. And they've got some great players.
Yeah, now Mashiri's coming, they've got some serious money. I think, you know, the expectation there was do naturally rise, but then you've got, you know, how many competitive teams in the Premier League now?
But there should be a top seven because they've got the money. They're a great club. I've always thought that they were.
Oh, they've always
club.
Historically been a fan.
I wouldn't want them to leave Goodison Park. I think Goodison Park is one of the old traditional grounds, and I love the atmosphere. The dilemma of only having two loos in the way end is a little bit difficult to deal with, particularly when you've eaten a rather bad part. Yeah, as you say, pie.
I mean, we've done okay there over the last couple of years. Last year was the Allardyce blanket,
where they didn't have a shot, Christmas and that was 0-0, and that was just awful.
But we once again failed to get through there.
But the year before that, I think, was the great Pedro goal. 3-1, we won 3-0.
Yeah.
And then I think the year before that was possibly when the Scottish, blonde Scottish guys
Gary Naismith,
scored a hat-trick.
Yeah, early season, lost 3-0 on a Saturday morning.
Oh my God, that was dreadful. And it was 3-1 because Matic scored the most amazing goal.
And then he went to Norwich, didn't he?
Who, Matic?
Naismith.
Naismith. Come on.
Naismith.
And then the season before that, we won 6-4.
Yeah. Which was incredible, just match. The most amazing game.
So with that in mind, looking at this game, are you confident of 3 points, or is it perhaps all just a bit inconsistent?
No, you can never tell.
We're too inconsistent.
Everton are inconsistent as well.
Yeah, well, as we're saying, there's something about the game. There is always a needle. There is always the crowd always seem to get behind the team. Other than, I'm trying to think of a game where they were completely quiet. Was that the
3-0 game?
The 3-0 game. There was
no
nothing
atmosphere.
Coming. Yeah, I was there. It was absolutely peculiar.
It was on the road to the title. Yeah. It was just thinking, this is like one of our most difficult games, they're always up for it. And we went there, and there was stum. It was just no noise at all. It's very unlike them.
Somebody had given them something in their tea.
I mean, our inconsistency and their inconsistency, I think it's impossible to call. I think the factor that we have flown back from Kiev, I think,
won't help.
Yeah. But I was looking.
Higuain didn't make it there. He might be his.
So we've got Luiz, Emerson, Jorginho, Hazard, and Higuain. Only Jorginho played 20 minutes. So those are five guys who should be relatively fresh.
It's a question of whether he plays Emerson or not. He seems at the moment just to be swapping them about him and Alonso.
Well, maybe he will, because
Alonso had a great game.
Yeah,
great game. But once again, the team wasn't very good. And it seems to be, you put any pressure on Alonso, and he just seems not to be the player that he was at all last season.
Yeah, I think Emerson will come in. I think, obviously, says Dave will come back at right
back.
He
was very poor against Wolves, though, Emerson. Very poor indeed. He hardly centred the ball at all. He kept giving the ball away.
Centre it to who?
There's nobody in the box ever.
There were a couple of occasions when, once again, rather than actually put a cross in, and Higuain is lurking. But I agree, there should be more people in the box.
Well,
but
talking
I can't
of there
work
being
that
nobody,
out at the moment.
Talking of there being nobody in the box, there's the question not just of playing those who were rested against Kiev, but the other angle of that is looking at that performance, that result, saying, you know what, we played really well, we scored a lot of goals, should some of those guys keep their place? Mm. Olivier Giroud scored a hat-trick and is a man who does like to lurk in the box. That be a solution?
I think Sarri mentioned how well he played. But wouldn't it be great if you had Hazard, Higuain and Giroud playing?
I agree.
Well, that's a change of formation, wouldn't it be?
Well, it was interesting watching who played 4-4-2 during the week. Juventus.
Yeah.
It was just quite remarkable, because he then go, well, yeah, they're
Italian league, so different. That's why Sarri ball was good, because you know it's a very, very different league. It's very slow. And there's only three or four really good teams, the rest are very average.
Yeah, but it was Juventus against Atletico, so it was hardly
it's the same
Italian league. It was two very different philosophies being
but played. I don't perceive ever that Sarri would do something completely
getting back to the team itself, I honestly feel it's this whole thing about the ball being passed quickly. It seems to be an aspect of effort occasionally, whether they're actually up for it. Because watching the top European teams, everything is done with much more passion than we've been contributing over the past few weeks, which I find very peculiar as to what it is, this ingredient that allows you to actually not only pass the ball more quickly, but actually be kind of up for it.
Well, there might be a question of occasion there as well, in the sense that it might be easier
indeed,
to take
it's
all
easier.
Really
yeah,
seriously
yeah, it's always
against
the case.
Barca
yeah, yeah.
than against
well, it's
Wolves.
The same with the atmosphere at the bridge as well.
I think we've become blasé. Last 10-15 years about stuff. We almost
the crowd is the same because you play Wolves and there's no atmosphere at all because it's Wolves. Whereas Tottenham, Arsenal, Man City, the atmosphere's tangible and
Tottenham
it's wonderful.
Tottenham was amazing.
Amazing! Yeah. They're the kind of things that. But whether they need to be up for it, I don't know. There was this constant talk of there being, there should be singing sections, or should there be a drum? They're getting on. Please. But
no drum.
Part of it is because we're so used to winning, we're so used to rolling over the lesser teams. When we don't, everybody doesn't know how to behave.
Do you think also you look at this team now? Maybe Hazard aside, there aren't any real kind of legends in the making of legends. I mean, you've got Luiz, you've got Aspi, there's no John Terry, there's no Frank Lampard, there's no one there who's going to is going to roll up
the
sleeves.
Well, once again, I think the rolling up the sleeves and the Frank Lampard aspect is Lampard just had a phenomenal shot. You know, I think if anybody was there who could actually score goals, then we'd take them to our hearts, wouldn't we? Yeah, somebody scored 10 goals in a season. Scoring no goals is absolutely ridiculous for a midfielder.
I know. I mean, our midfield's got 4 goals this season, hasn't it, between us?
Yeah.
And Kante's got them all.
Yeah. No, and Jorginho's got one.
Oh, yeah.
But is that, I mean, that sort of brings us back to where we were at the beginning of the show, talking about struggling to break down a Wolves side who was sitting behind the ball. That game was crying out for a Lampard or a Lampard-style player, because Lampard, in that context, after the first 25 minutes, if he couldn't break through with one of those runs behind, he would have just gone, right, I'm bored. Yeah. I'll start whacking it, and it would probably have worked.
Well, what happened when the first time somebody whacked it, we scored?
Yeah, that was the only time, wasn't it?
93rd minute.
Yeah. But you also have to think, I mean, just going back to that, that it needed breaking up. It needed somebody like Giroud coming on because they were comfortable, the back four.
Well, you could argue that what Mourinho would have done, actually, would have been to have...
Put Robert Huth up front.
No, that would have been Ranieri.
Yeah,
of course he did as well, didn't he? Yeah. Yes, he did. Yeah. Ranieri would have put Huth at right back.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, Monaco. Yeah. Or right wing, one of the... Yeah. And bring Varane on, who hasn't played for 8 months.
But has back in centre-half.
Yeah, yeah. I've lost my train of thought completely. I think it's about shooting, essentially. It's just having the
I appreciate all managers have got philosophies.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
They've all got philosophies. Like, Pep's got a philosophy. He'll do a certain thing, but he's aware. His in-game management, I think, is second to none. Even less Klopp in-game management. Yeah. Up until recently, Sarri was very much like for like. You could Kovacic for Barkley or vice versa. I don't think
he's worked out that hasn't...
He can't change the game. He can't make a generally a positive support.
The one thing that I was going to say about Sunday is the first goal is absolutely crucial. I know that's like a bit cliche thing to say.
Seems to be more and more the
but
case.
They've got no confidence. If they go one down, I suspect we'll win. But if we go one down, we won't win because this season we haven't overturned a deficit.
Even Wolves, I wasn't confident we'd get anything back from Wolves.
But at Everton the last time out, 2-0 up, lost 3-2. So if ever there were a team who had the potential to capitulate at this point in a Premier League season, it is this Everton side.
Absolutely.
What I was going to say was that, remember, that Mourinho, if the opposition just defended, would not play any of the defenders on the Chelsea side.
Well,
he'd push them, but not only that, he'd put three forwards on.
Yeah.
If he had them on the subs.
Like he did PSG, when he had like Bar... Three when we won the game.
He's
on the pitch saying, like, you here.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
And you can't see Sarri.
That's the difference between a very good coach and an absolute top level coach.
Well, if Sarri is struggling to change games off the bench, he's going to need to get it right the first time round. Coming up, we'll work out how he can do that.
Giving your team the coverage they deserve. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and we've had more answers coming in to our quiz.
We have. The wonderful Chelsea chatter has given us Tommy Lawton, Terry Phelan, Samuel Eto'o, Ross Barkley, Romelu Lukaku, who we've had, Robert Laverick.
Known as Bobby. Bobby
to his mate.
Toilet, wasn't he?
Mickey Thomas, Pat Nevin, we've had Mark Hughes, Kurt Zouma, John Spencer, Jack Coke, spelt C-O-C-K, I don't know if I can say that word, Graham Stewart, Jerry Payton, Gary Stanley, Duncan McKenzie, and Ben Howard Baker. Now, Ben Howard Baker was the really easy one.
He was the very posh one.
1921, yeah.
He played in a monocle, did you know that?
Did he?
Yeah.
And a pipe.
Don't you know?
Hello. And a pipe. Yes.
Hello.
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 Yes.
Hello. I'm going to score.
Yes,
now.
I'm going to score. Yes. Very good. So, thank you, Chelsea chatter.
Did he get them all then? Has he got them in?
I think there's.
Oh no, he's missed one out. I can see here.
There's a couple that he hasn't got.
Chatter, we give you a few more minutes to get it right. Yeah. You're almost there, but you're almost not there.
So you have to go searching through the Liverpool Echo from 1836 the next one,
I think. Yeah, here's a clue. 1902, 1904 was one you've missed out. And also, who else is there?
1905 to 1906. And we have... Oh, did he didn't get the one we were talking about.
Yeah, he got the wrist and had a headstone.
Did he?
At Brighton Cemetery.
1906, 1907. He hasn't got that one either.
Yeah.
To be fair, it's really
by the lovely Cliff and the Chelsea Supporters Trust.
Yes. Going back over 100 years for some of these, it's extraordinary.
It's almost like a Spurs title, isn't
it? But you've seen all of them play, haven't you, Jonathan?
All of them?
Yes, all of them.
Yes, of course.
Turning our attention to Chelsea's current crop of players, one person, Jonathan, who you were mentioning to me that you were particularly impressed by against Dinamo last night was Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Do you think he did enough to earn some inclusion against Everton, perhaps even from the start?
No.
No. Is that because he could never? Do you think there is no way he can break into Sarri's starting lineup?
At the moment, he won't, no, unless there's an injury. But I think he'll come on 50 minutes. He seems to be coming on earlier and earlier. So perhaps after a bit, he'll... because he can't... It affects his philosophy. So perhaps he'll do a substitution after 2 minutes eventually.
Which is incredibly frustrating because he's the only one capable of breaking beyond strikers. It gives us a real...
He's got a very good quality where players bounce off him. He does something that looks slightly illegal, but he just seems to sort of lean into them.
Yeah.
And which Hazard can do. Because he's so enormous, you
skills.
Just think, think, that must be a foul. Oh, no, it's not. He's just somehow careered through, you know.
He's probably our most physically imposing midfielder.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, Jorginho and Jorginho, Kovacic are quite lightweight. He's the way he just can...
It's a
Hullet-like
quality to him, actually.
Yeah, he's kind of like glides. He moves forward the ball very effortlessly and gets into the box, which no one else does.
So if what we're saying there is that Loftus-Cheek offers something that other Chelsea midfielders don't, would you like to see Sarri compromise?
You say that, but Ross Barkley could offer that.
Okay, but both of those two then, either of them, would you as fans like to see Sarri be a little less principled in terms of his philosophy and say, you know what, as a side... playing in the Premier League rather than the Serie A, we're lacking this, and I'm going to try and introduce them from the beginning. I know he did that a bit with Barkley towards the start of the season. Would you like to see Loftus-Cheek bring something a little different to that midfield?
I think because of the past performances, yes, he should definitely do that and play him. However, there's still a question mark over his fitness and his bad
problem.
Back as well, which I think is the problem. Yeah. This is why I don't think he's playing him, because when he comes on, he looks better and better. I have to say, I think he's just improved out of all proportion, because there was a period last season when he just didn't look up to it, whereas now I think he's beginning to actually look the real deal.
Dominate the midfield.
Yeah. But no, I don't think he'll get in, but for those reasons. I don't think he's fit enough. I don't think he can last that. No. But I think he's... Well, I was being a bit facetious, but I think actually ultimately the more fit that he gets, I think the earlier he'll contribute. And if it means he needs to start, he'll start. But I'm not sure that he still fits in with Sarri's view because he runs with the ball a lot. I don't know if you're supposed to do that.
Where is Loftus-Cheek's position, irrespective of his coach?
We still don't know.
How do you solve a problem like Ruben?
As opposed to Maria.
I think he'll start with Barkley because I think, one, he was nowhere near the squad on Thursday, and the playing against Reds club.
Yeah, but he played so dreadfully against them in the home game.
Yeah.
He looked spooked by the experience.
What kind of reception do you think that Ross Barkley would receive?
Oh, they'll hate him non-stop. One greedy so-and-so is what they'll shout out.
They gave him a hard time at the bridge.
They did. Yeah. They really did. That phrase was chanted a lot.
I mean, obviously, it's hard to love a player who's left your club for another team, but is it not possible as a fan to look at what they did for you positively?
Yeah, but that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? That sounds quite normal behaviour. Fans aren't like that most of the time.
Frank Lampard, Man City against Chelsea, scores a goal.
And was very respectful.
Yeah, and the Chelsea fans respective to him. Peter Cech comes back, he gets great respect. Ashley Cole comes back.
So it's about the manner
in
which
Matter comes back.
Well, Matter's a hero. I mean, you know, we're losing the cup game to Man United and he gets clapped off the pitch.
Yeah.
Chelsea generally treat their ex-players really well.
Unless they do something like Gallus, which is a little bit stupid, or Gus Poyet.
Yeah.
Kisses the badge when he scores against Chelsea.
Yeah, but generally, I mean, that last kind of decade, when Drogba came back with Galatasaray, he got incredible reception.
But with these Chelsea examples, I take your point absolutely. But all of these guys did leave the club under quite good circumstances, didn't they? And if a Lampard, say at the age of 27, Lampard had said, sorry, I'm off to Arsenal, you might be a little less generous to him when he returns.
I really don't think so. I mean, I might be being naive here, but I genuinely think if they have done something special for us, then even if they go to the team that plays in white in North London, that's completely unforgivable.
Well, for example, Gordon Dury, yes, was somebody who we do not approve of.
That's the fact. He said he wanted to move further north.
Yeah.
But so if Didier Drogba, even at the end of his career, he's been this wonderful servant to Chelsea Football Club, scored a crucial goal in the Champions League final, won the penalty shootout with his final kick of the ball for the club. He comes back from his 93rd spell in China as a 58-year-old and signs for Tottenham Hotspur. Is that a problem? Or do you still love
him? No, because Ida Gudjonsson signed for Tottenham. Yeah. And we still love Ida.
He was a bit past it when he did sign.
Well, that's why we didn't care. Yeah. But he also played for Barca.
Didn't he sign for Queen's Park Rangers as well?
I don't know. He signed for about 18 clubs when he came back.
Barcelona, Stoke City, Tottenham, and then he kind of went to India and around that sort of places.
Well, talking of players who've played for multiple clubs, we're still looking for a couple of answers in our quiz. Which players played for both Everton and Chelsea? And it's good timing because on the line we have Chris Smith, Squawker journalist and Everton fan, and from him in just a moment we'll be getting the opposition view.
This is Love Sport. The opposition view on Love Sport.
It is that time of the Chelsea fan show where we go to the opposition and find out just how much of a threat they might pose. I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line by Chris Smith, who's a Squawker journalist and Everton fan. Good evening, Chris. Thanks very much for joining us. When you look ahead to the weekend and the prospect of Chelsea, do they worry you?
I think with any Everton game, you're always a little bit worried because we do have this massive tendency to shoot ourselves in the foot, as I'm sure you all saw last week against Newcastle. That said, for some strange reason, even though we had that terrible result last week, there's a weird underlying sense of optimism that we might actually fluke a point at home. Just because of how we performed in the derby, the atmosphere that the fans generated there.
Don't you always raise your game, though, against Chelsea? Every time I've been to Goodison, it's always a very intimidating atmosphere. They always seem to play out of their skin against Chelsea. I mean, what's that down to? I never understand that. Have you any idea what that's about? Is there some enmity between the two teams that I've missed somewhere?
I wouldn't say there's like a direct rivalry or anything. I think just sometimes when sort of I say that some of the bigger clubs in the Premier League come to Goodison. Sometimes you just get them days where the fans are up for it. And I know it can be a bit of a cliche, but that 12th man attitude does seem to spill onto the pitch sometimes. I mean, I have seen some bad days at Goodison when Chelsea have been there.
Well, like you were saying the 3-0 three seasons ago, the 3-0 where
Naismith
completely quiet. No, not the Naismith.
Yeah.
When Chelsea
game,
won.
Yeah.
It was absolutely bizarre. I've been to Goodison quite a lot, actually, and I've always been really impressed by the atmosphere. But so to have all the fans absolutely quiet was so weird. I couldn't... Was that Kerman? I can't remember.
Kerman.
I think he was managing
And going into the season, obviously, Mashari invested all that money. What were your expectations? I mean, did you think you'd be fighting for top six, top four?
I think by this point now, I mean, it's been a few years since the money come in. I think we were really hoping to be challenging for Champions League places. Hopefully try and get to like another couple of cup finals maybe, but for one reason or another, it just hasn't worked. I think a lot of fans have got their own theories about why it hasn't worked.
Has Walcott been playing well?
No.
do you think Silva's a man for the job? I kind of think he's not a fraud, that's harsh, but I think he kind of did a good outcome with Hull, and then as soon as you guys came calling us at Watford, he sort of dropped them like they were hot. I mean, do you think he's the right man? Do you think he can take you to the next level?
I'll go against the entire Everton fan base and say I do think he is. Obviously, he's coming under some heat at the moment.
I was going to ask that. Is that becoming vocal at Goodison Park yet?
There's some booing. There's some fans, obviously, you know, standing up and shouting what they want to shout. I think I won't repeat here. we're a fan base that does get behind the team, but at the same time, if they're not happy, they're very quick to let you know.
We were discussing Zuma earlier. He obviously won't be playing on Sunday. Has he been playing well, do you think?
Yeah, I think out of all, we're really excited with some of the players we brought in the summer. I think out of all of them, him or Lucas Digne has probably been the best two.
Yeah. I like Digne, looks really good player.
When you played at Stamford Bridge, obviously Zuma couldn't play, and Yerry Mina, I think that was his first game for you, and he played really well in that game, and I was also really impressed with Gomez. So I'm quite surprised, because you have, you mentioned Digne. I'm glad you mentioned him, because I couldn't pronounce his name.
That's French for worthy. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Thank you, Jonathan.
Lucas Worthy.
I'm sure Chris is...
I've heard some creative attempts from Edmund.
His brother's called Wernick.
But I mean,
yeah.
I mean, what do you? Can you put your finger on what's really just not clicking for you? I mean, obviously you'll click on Sunday, but
it's tough. I do think we really, really lack a striker. I know Richarlison's scored a few goals and he's been sort of shoehorned through the middle, but at times we're endlessly recycling the ball, and it gets to like Gomez or Sigurdsson, and you know he's got that killer pass.
On that lack of a striker, Chris, how disappointed have you been in Cenk Tosun? Because he was obviously in a lot of demand from various Premier League clubs. Chelsea weren't linked, Newcastle certainly were. He'd scored a lot of goals in Turkey, came in with a big price tag, and he has looked completely hopeless.
He started relatively well in his first half season. I think he scored about 5 goals, which, considering how poor we were under Allardyce, that was like Ronaldo-esque figures for us. but I think this season he's struggled. I don't think Silva's helped him because he's rotated him with Calvert-Lewin a lot. There's a big debate over which one's better. Personally, I prefer Tosun's hold-up play to Calvert-Lewin's, but Calvert-Lewin's scoring the goals more at the moment, so which one do you pick?
How much are you affected by what's going on across the park? Was that not really, you know, with the Liverpool doing, you know, having a decent season? Does that have any kind of impact on the sort of the Evertonians or?
As much as we try and tell ourselves that it doesn't, it definitely does. Yeah. We really don't want them to win it.
Oh, good, nor do we.
A lot of friends who are Liverpool fans, and I just couldn't take it if they win it.
I mean, when's the state? Have they started building a new stadium yet, or is that still in the off?
No, the sort of the planning process is still coming along. Yeah. And there's like some leaked images that have come out and things like that. But the guy who's apparently designed it's been very vocal on Twitter about he's the guy who's doing it. So the process is running along quite smoothly. Yeah.
Chris, the person who's impressed me most for Everton so far this season is Sigurdsson. Do you see him as the key man, as the danger man from Chelsea's point of view, or should they be concerned about other avenues? I know that it's Theo Walcott's birthday, 3-0 Walcott coming up, as it's being called. Will he be looking for a birthday goal?
I think he'd enjoy one against Chelsea, given his Arsenal background. But I do agree with you that Sigurdsson's the one. I think if you're asking me who my favourite Everton player is at the moment, I would go for Sigurdsson. He does go a bit quiet sometimes, but he's got that moment of magic in him that not many players at our club do at the moment.
Yeah. Of course, he may have the plan again, might he, Silva, of putting Richarlison on Jorginho and not really attempting to play. It's unlikely to do that at home, but you never know. That may be the way that he feels it's the way to stop Chelsea playing. Mm-hmm. So it might be another war of attrition, as it was against Wolves, if he thinks.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes when you're on a bad run of form like we are at the moment, I know we had a couple of results against Cardiff and Liverpool, but sometimes you just got to grind results out and get points on the board and start building confidence. I think when we did it at Stamford Bridge, it was Sigurdsson we used as a sort of a blocker to stop that pass to Jorginho. It really did work. Why not try it again? Because I think Sarri seems to be quite stubborn in using that route.
Mm. There was a sense of frustration that the way you capitulated against Millwall, when that was realistically a good chance for Everton to sort of get towards silverware, was that...
Yeah, don't talk about Millwall. it was the height of embarrassment. Yeah. I think the more frustrating thing since then as well is looking at the route of their draw since then has been quite favourable.
You could have Brighton at the weekend, Chris.
Yeah, we could have easily fluked our way to a semi-final.
Yeah.
Chris, a lot has been written about the relationship between your coach and your star man in the form of Richarlison. Silva is obviously the person who brought him into the club. Silva also was the person who brought him to the nation when he was at Watford. They're very, very close, very, very close-knit. And do you think that the Everton fans are perhaps playing this poorly in the sense that the same people booing Marco Silva are the very people praising Richarlison? If one goes, do you think the other will follow suit?
It's a bit of a tough question because one thing that stands out in fans is they very rarely have a loyalty to an individual player or manager. So if Silva's not getting the results and they want him out, if Richarlison wants to go as a result, I think Everton fans, regardless of his goals, would be happy for him to go, obviously provided they can get a replacement. We're not sort of a fan base that will sort of banner behind one player.
And from the Chelsea point of view, when you look at their squad, obviously Eden Hazard is the most threatening player, but beyond that, who scares you?
Not so much that he's an attacker, but N'Golo Kante. I just think he's an absolutely unbelievable footballer. Obviously, you'd probably sit to death of hearing he should be playing in defensive midfield. Let's face it, he's a 10 out of 10 defensive midfielder. He's a 9.5 out of 10 everywhere else, so does it really matter that much? I think
he is improving actually in that position.
I've watched 3 or 4 Chelsea games. I've covered a few as well, and the way he charges out with the ball and the way he progresses the ball is unbelievable.
He's a brilliant ability to nick the ball from somebody. We just don't think he's going to do it, which actually Makélélé did that originally, but it's just this he almost as if he sort of lands on top of them and you think it must be a foul, but no, he just gets the ball first. It's just remarkable.
Yeah, when you're watching it from the stands or on the TV, you're screaming he's behind you and he's coming, but
that's like the world's worst pantomime.
He's so quick to get through, though, that it's hard when you're down at pitch level.
Well, Chris, I'm afraid I'm going to have to put you on the spot. N'Golo Kante will be playing. Eden Hazard will almost certainly feature as well. But what will the scoreline be?
I'll be optimistic and go 1-0.
Be optimistic and go 1-0. You heard it here first. Chris, thanks ever so much for joining
us.
Chris Smith,
Chris
is a Squawker journalist and, of course, an Evertonian. Coming up, we'll find exactly what our panel think of Everton's chances.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio. This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. We were just hearing from Chris Smith, who's a Squawker journalist and Everton fan. He reckons it'll be 1-1 at the weekend. I will be getting predictions from all of the panel around me in just a moment. But first, important business to attend to, because there are two players from our quiz. That's two players who featured for both Chelsea and Everton who you haven't managed to guess. We're going to give you some clues.
Come on.
This player, he played for Chelsea, Queen's Park Rangers, Everton, and then finished his career in America, where he's now coaching, or was coaching.
And he ran a long, long way in Vienna.
Yeah.
Okay, and the other one? There?
The other player is a religious response to a sneeze.
A religious response to a sneeze. He's also quite nippy.
Yeah.
So we
also had that ability to he'd lurk behind the goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper would put the ball down to take a goal kick and not be spotted. And he wouldn't be spotted, and he'd then come around and kick the ball away after the goalkeeper put it down and put it into.
Remember when Gary Crosby did that?
Yeah.
Against Andy Dibble.
Yeah. Did you see somebody did that this week?
Did they do that this week as well?
Carlisle played somebody this week, and there was a guy lurking behind the goalkeeper. I think it was Matt Notts County.
People wanted to shout, "He's behind you!"
And the Carlisle player was behind. The keeper just put the ball down and he ran around, and it was on. It's been on social media.
Well, Chelsea won't be able to rely on that kind of sneaky, underhand behaviour at the weekend.
It's in the laws.
It can be allowed and be sneaky.
Yeah,
Jonathan,
I agree. But nonetheless, it's still, recognisable.
We like
scoring.
Sneakiness.
Sneaky. No, it's in the laws.
It's in the laws.
It's got my referee's voice on now.
Not in the spirit of the game.
I don't care. It's still an allowable goal,
Assuming that Chelsea don't nick a goal in the laws or otherwise through perhaps less than conventional means, how can Sarri best go about getting 3 points at the weekend?
I think we appear to be playing very well in the first 20 minutes in every game.
Need to score.
Need to score.
Yeah.
need to get an early goal, as they did last night.
I think with Chelsea, if we score first, I'm much more confident we're going to win the match, because
we'll win by more, in fact.
Because then it changes the dynamic of the team. They have to come and press us more.
Absolutely.
Then we can transition quicker.
Then we're actually decent at getting into goal scoring positions when people aren't pressing us.
Play the youth, according to Twitter.
Well, this is the big question, and I know it's Twitter fervour, but Hudson-Odoi was impressive against Dynamo Kiev. Does he start? Does he feature?
he comes on later. He won't start.
He'll come on after 87
Pedro
minutes.
Put Pedro on. That's his default. Well, Pedro's in the form.
Pedro, Hazard
and Higuain. Higuain. The three you'll play out.
Well,
there are slight questions about Higuain, suggestions of illness. And should it be Giroud? Even if Higuain is fit, if he's well. If you score a hat-trick...
If there's an opportunity because Higuain is slightly ill, I think he'll play Giroud.
But even if Higuain isn't slightly ill, as a second striker, there is not a lot more you can do than score a hat-trick.
Well, perhaps in his stubborn mind, he's the second striker.
What about a false nine?
I don't think he's going to play there anymore this season.
Okay.
So that would be Hazard operating as a false nine.
But if he did, you'd have Hazard playing, then you could play...
William and Pedro.
He'll play William and Pedro and bring Hudson-Odoi on. Or he could play Hudson-Odoi from the beginning if he wasn't playing a striker.
Hudson-Odoi will be best on the bench and he probably won't even get on.
We're seeing the goal that was being talked about at Carlisle, where the poor goalkeeper rolls the ball out in front of him to kick it long, and the player appears from behind him and kicks the ball away. We also saw a glorious moment from Brentford versus Sheffield United, of course, a game that didn't go all that well for Brentford, where Romain Sawyers approaches a fan who's got the ball after it went out for a throw-in and says, "Can I have it back, please?" The Sheffield United fan responds by attempting to kick the ball into orbit. He does so, but it goes straight up in the air, drops. Romain Sawyers catches it, says thank you very much, and I'm sure nothing more offensive than that, and gets on with the game.
Fell on his behind.
He did, with
much
his mate,
the amusement of his friend.
His mate roaring with laughter all the time.
That will be on DVDs for years to come.
That will be, certainly for all of his family members. In terms of Chelsea, Ampadu, is he completely out of the running for Premier League action, do you think, for the rest of this season?
Completely. It's a complete waste, to be honest. He should have gone on loan in December, because if he wasn't going to use him, he should have gone on loan.
I mean, so, Clayton, would you like to see him used in the Premier League?
I can't see that we actually need him in the Premier League, although in saying that, he would be a fantastic substitute, because he can play full-back, centre-half, midfield.
Pretty much anywhere.
Yeah,
he could do a job up front.
He probably could. And it's just a bit of a waste, I think. I think it's a wasted opportunity. I mean, I don't like to badmouth our players, but David Zappacosta last night was possibly the only downside of I mean, I feel very sorry for him, because he doesn't play. And to come in and to try and play when you haven't played for months, I don't know the last time.
He gets on the pitch, he doesn't play.
But he was poor.
Yeah.
Against poor side.
He's a poor player from the start.
Where,
from the very beginning.
Where did we sign him from? I can't remember.
Was it Udinese in the case of Davide Zappacosta?
I think he was a mid-levelling Italian team, wasn't he? But, you know.
It's a great shame when you see him playing like that, when you know that Ampadu could do
Torino.
Just as well.
Torino. And those false expectations, that Champions League goal in his first game, that false expectation.
Right.
But that's where Chelsea are shopping the pound shop, because they didn't get anybody in that transfer window, all these last-minute bargains.
Well, it was Zappacosta came in with Danny Drinkwater.
Yeah.
I mean, that was again the club not supporting the manager, and I know
he wanted to buy, if you remember.
He wanted to buy Dan. Yeah.
He wanted Chiellini.
I was up for signing.
And he wanted to buy Bonucci, who, in fact, are both still playing fantastically, even though well into their 30s.
And you were talking earlier in the show about David Luiz's potential to play a raking 50-yard pass. Yeah. Bonucci can do that as well as anybody, and he would fit really nicely into that Sarri system.
Especially three at the back.
He was supposed to fit into Conte's system. That's why Conte threw his toys out of the plan.
He wanted one of his three centre-halves.
That's right. He wanted... whether that means that Dave wouldn't have been playing, which...
Wouldn't have signed Dave, would they? Dave would have maybe gone on, or Cahill would have been marginalised, which has been done anyway.
That's where he then allegedly disappeared and turned his phone off. And
this is Conte we're talking about.
Yeah. This is where the whole thing slid into what we have now is the acrimonious lawsuit, allegedly.
Well, with that Gary Cahill situation, looking at the centre-halves. Is that a disappointment for you as Chelsea fans?
I personally don't know why he didn't go at Christmas. I don't know if he knew he wasn't going to be playing for the rest of the season.
Offers, but
he did,
quite.
Because they weren't good enough, or because they couldn't pay his wages.
He went and he was had a look with Fulham, at the Fulham training ground, didn't go there. Linked as well to Arsenal, linked to Sheffield Wednesday, which would, I think, no disrespect to them, have been a step down. He's been a very good servant for Chelsea.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, unbelievable player. He's won everything.
Yeah, Champions League.
Quickest to win every single major trophy in history.
So is it a source of sadness for you to see his Chelsea career come to an end in a rather damp squib kind of way?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been completely marginalised. It's not as if he's sort of been on the subs bench and not got on. He's just been left out of virtually every... I can't remember the last time...
I think he was on the bench a couple of times, but that's it. I mean...
He's obviously just taking the wages, because every other club who wanted him offered him less money.
Don't blame him.
So he's going to stay until the summer.
Well, there is that, but I mean...
No, but I think it's fair enough. Yeah. I don't think it's a good...
I mean, I'm glad he didn't go to Arsenal, because that would have strengthened a rival. However... You know, much years towards the end of his career.
Didn't offer him large amounts of money, because they're always their centre halves are a bit dubious.
Yeah, and the Fulham thing, I think he went there with Victor Moses, and I think they got a taxi. There was about three of them went over and looked round Fulham.
It's
at
Motspur Park, you know, the training ground.
Yeah, with the
I used to play cricket there.
The wonderful Claudio.
It's got enormous gasometers there.
Has it?
Yeah, what it used to
like
have
the oval.
Played there. Yeah, yeah. It's just it's not as how can I put it? It's
Not salubrious.
Not as swish.
Salubrious.
Cobham.
Yeah. Well, I mean, where were you before?
Very similar. Yeah. I played football there a few times. Yeah.
It was awful place.
Yeah, dreadful.
Well, Victor's gone to Fenerbahce, hasn't he?
Yeah. No, it is a great shame with Cahill, because he was. Is he still the club captain?
Yeah.
Laughably. Don't know. It's just a very strange thing, and I just. One of very. Many strange things that our manager has done.
Or our club has done.
Do you think that implies that Sarri perhaps doesn't quite get it, doesn't get Chelsea Football Club more broadly? Because you can not respect a player in terms of fitting into your plans, but still respect his legacy, respect him as a man, and act in terms of leaving him out, actually in pretty much the exact way Sarri has done, but just with a little more decency.
Well,
perhaps.
We don't know what happens there. He may be club captain, he may be, as club captain, he's representing the club perfectly on within training. He may be getting on very well with everybody.
I'm sure he's behaving very well.
He's not just not going to select... Not going to select him.
But do you not have a duty when you come into a club, if a player really isn't in your plans at all, to make that very, very clear? Not just in general.
It's actually, I mean, you make an absolutely brilliant point, and blogging all season and tweeting all season, I think that's a great point. I don't actually think Sarri gets Chelsea.
No.
I really don't. I mean, that...
But does he have to get Chelsea?
Yeah, yeah.
He's the manager of Chelsea.
You think about Conte.
He wants to play 13 players, and he's going to do it. I mean, that aspect of it, he doesn't need to put players in Cahill because he's got a history with the club.
Perhaps the whole apathy in the crowd, the whole sort of apathy towards this season and the performances and the... You know, because you were talking about it on Monday, about how flat it was on Sunday.
Yeah.
Conte's first game, West Ham, last minute winner, into the crowd, he got Chelsea.
But and the whole Sarri thing, maybe there's something in that.
Sarri doesn't get Chelsea, perhaps, but he will certainly be looking for 3 points. I need just a scoreline from all of you as a prediction.
And then the competition, quickly.
OK. We haven't got time for the competition. We
2-1.
Need the scorelines. 2-1 Chelsea.
0-0.
0-0 and
1-1.
Ben Howard, Baker, Ross Buckley, Jack Cox, Sam Aletto, Park Hughes, Jack Kerman, Bobby Laverick, Tommy Lawton.
Join us next time on the Chelsea Fan Show.
This is Love Sport.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.